In Revelation is the last book, the last words God is going to say. He sums up and puts together everything that was started in Genesis chapter 1. So when you come to Revelation, you're looking at it's a prophetic book telling you how things are going to go. And thus it is written in the church age, the last living apostle is John, the Apostle John. And he is the writer, writing just before the turn of the century in 100 AD. So therefore, the content of it includes, understandably, the church age in which he lived, was part of, and it would come to a conclusion. So as you're looking, God takes and God has moved. God gives you the church age, and he tells you, Revelation 3:22, the end, that the church age will be finished. The church, the body of believers, is taken up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are raptured, or the New Testament word, 1 Thessalonians 4, caught up, force, with great force they're taken up. Now, when that happens, Revelation 4, 1 and 2, remember, then the next scene, the next thing to be found, is the believers, the church, in heaven. And thus, Revelation 4, before the Creator, God, the Father, and in that setting, you have that setting. And that setting is given to us. And then, once this is finished, then comes the end, Revelation chapter 6, all the way to the end, the tribulation. Revelation 4 and 5 is introducing the judgment of God on the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to, after giving grace is the key word for the church. Tribulation, the key word is wrath, W-R-A-T-H. And God is finished with the church, then he's going to begin the end. And right here we are, looking right now, Revelation 4 and 5, the church is in heaven. So we aren't, if you're a believer, you wouldn't be here. So to think right, where is the context? The believers are there. Now, with that in mind, if you would, Revelation chapter 5. And picking up in, going directly, remember we read and have gone down to verse 10. I'll read verse 9 and 10 simply to remind us of last week. And then they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tribe, etc., nation, tongue, people, language, people, nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And that's, the church is recognizing the marvel of God's grace, that we could be there, and that what he has done, and he captivates, as the incense we read earlier in verse 8, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, and the priest would take the incense, the bowl, the basin, and incense on it, and the fire in the bowl, and throw incense, and the smoke would fill the Holy of Holies, so the ark and the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, would be clouded over, and then the high priest would go in two more times, and he would be protected by the incense. And remember, we share together, the incense comes from the altar of incense. The altar of incense, as the lampstand, menorah, candlestick, and the table of showbread. What are they all doing? They're telling us of the wonderful sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Jesus Christ satisfies God. And in order to worship, we have to come through Him. If you ask anything in my name, everything God does is for His name. And the incense would rise up and protect the high priest because of the merit and work, person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there, if you have that a little bit. Now, Revelation chapter 11, the scene is going to come to a conclusion. And in coming to a conclusion, I titled, good or bad, The Eternal Affirmation. And affirmation, what is the word affirmation? It means to be deeply, deeply convicted over something, someone, and the possibility of denial is minimized. So you're positively affirming something that is deeply in your heart and knowing who can deny it. Affirmation. Who can deny it? Eternal affirmation. And we have the word chorus. And remember, in the ancient Greeks, in their drama, etc., and they would perform and sing and narrate and give the chorus would be in the Greeks, giving an explanation, an elaboration of what has gone ahead of it. Verse 8, 9, and 10, what about what they've been doing? Here's the church, the believers, giving worthy art thou, thou hast been slain. Now, here's the chorus, the giving, elaborating, backing it up, supporting it. And in doing so, it does so, of course, simultaneously. And it does so in unison. So here's the chorus, affirming, without no possibility. It's absolutely sure. God of a truth, you are true. You are the true God. You give us the truth about yourself, and you are the truth. And with the whole deep convicting of the heart, with full understanding and light, not in the dark, the honor, the chorus sings out simultaneously and in unison. Now, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard a voice, the sound. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about, encircling. Think here's the four living creatures, and here's the 24 elders, and then around them is this circle. Here's the throne in the middle, as it were. Thus, and remember, keeping in mind, God has no dimensions and invisible, so the throne is only there to make things workable for people who aren't like God, infinite, for finite people to enjoy God, the infinite one. Thus, saying with a loud voice, surrounding the throne, verse 11, and round about the throne, the beast, the four elders, living creatures, and the elders, the 24 elders, and the number of them, the angels. Now we're talking about angels, so the subject now is angels. There's the elders and the living creature, but the angels. What about the angels? And the number of them, angels, was 10,000 times 10,000. And the word thousand, 10,000, the word is myriad, equals 10,000 in our language. 10,000. Now, I want you to think, if you would, 10,000 times 10,000. Thousands. Ten thousands, thousands plural, times ten thousands. So if we take 10,000 times 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. Okay? Now, 10,000 times 10,000, knowing you got 1,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 is a million. 100 million. Don't want to shortchange you. 100 million. Now 10,000 times 10,000 of that. And then, how should you, can you help me some more about angels? God said, let me add a little more. And then he adds, in addition to 10,000 times 10,000. You'll notice in the end of verse 11, thousands, thousands in the plural, thousands and thousands, thousands and thousands. Now a thousand times 10,000, a thousand times a thousand is a million. Okay? Now you got 10,000 times 10,000, thousands. And now you're going to add to that, give it a little more, thousands times, thousands, plural, times 10,000. A thousand times a thousand. Thousand times a thousand is a million. Now, there's thousands of thousands. And you don't have a number of how many thousands. There is no number for the thousands. There's 10,000 times 10,000, and then there's thousands of thousands and thousands. 1 million times every thousand times a thousand, a million. There's no number. What number are you going to give? There aren't any. How am I going to count? Do you think that's a lot? Do you think that's a lot? It is. God, and you can just think now, here's Satan with a third of those rascals, angels, a third of them. So can you just imagine the number? The number. Wow. They're all what? They're there. What are these thousands and thousands and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions, trillions and trillions? What are you doing? John, what are you, put it together for us. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. Remember worthy, balancing the scale. We had it up here. Just think of a scale, if it helps you. I'll bring it up again. Worthy. Worthy is to balance the arm. The word, balance the arm. And here we are. And the scale. Here's God in all of his magnificence. The Lord Jesus Christ balances the scale. Balances it. He's God. And God equals God. He is worthy. Who is worthy of God? God is worthy of God. Now, in verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now remember, you have to go back over to verse 6, 5, 6. They're looking. The worthy is this Lamb. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and of the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain. As it had been slain. Remember, slain, slaughtered, killed, brutally, violently killed. And remember, the Lamb isn't a full lamb. The word is a little lamb. Little, small lamb. Little lamb. A little lamb. And remember, we share together. God, what are you showing us? The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and was crucified. A terrible Roman death. Romans never died that way. No, just the bad guys. Terrible, terrible death. And the Lord Jesus Christ took that piercing of his hands and feet and side and all of that. And here he is. And how do you see him, John? How do you see him? You see him as a lamb, a little lamb that had been sacrificed. That's right. And the little lamb, the whole world looks. The whole world looks and thinks, who's Jesus? And who are you anyway? And that little lamb, how is heaven going to help us understand that one who the world said was nothing and nobody? That one, which one? The one you crucified. He is God. He is worthy. Humbled. He humbled himself. Philippians 2, 9 and 11. And God, what? Highly exalted him. And that's what it's all about. who is going to take care of the working out of history? The little lamb is. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, verse 9. Verse 9, you have it again. In the middle of the verse, if I may go, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and for thou wast slain. You have been slain, killed, slain. And thus, here he is, the little lamb. Here he is. Over, if you would, to get the idea. Over to Matthew chapter 16. Let's do it that way. Matthew chapter 16. And you will notice, please, in verse 13, it's familiar to you, it will help you. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say thou art Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, son of Jonas. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter, did you know this? No. God the Father helped you to be able to say, this is my beloved Son. He helped you. And you're right. Who do you say I am? Thus, over, if you would, chapter 17. Chapter 17, and in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain. And verse 2, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Now, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, the bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Who do you say I am? The Father will tell who I am. My Father will tell you, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right? Over, if you would, chapter 21, as the Lord enters his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the week of his death. Matthew chapter 21, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. Matthew 21 and verse 10. And when he was come, remember he's riding on the donkey, a colt of an ass, and they're throwing palm leaves in the raw. Remember, it's thousands, millions of thousands and thousands of people there at Passover. Verse 9. Verse 10. And when, 21:10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, stirred like an earthquake, saying, what did they say? Who is this? Who do you say I am? See? Who do you think I am? Now, over to chapter 27. Chapter 27. Chapter 27, and picking up in thought, verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that this is his trial, crucifixion, going to be his crucifixion, persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Verse 23, and the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. We don't want to talk about it. Crucify him. Verse 41, likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of the Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Verse 43. I am the Son of God. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw this on the cross, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Truly this was the Son of God. If you be God, if you be beloved Son of God, come down. They would be glad that he didn't come down, because they would have got clipped, you know. They would have got clipped for that. Now, over chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them after his resurrection. What did you say after your resurrection? All power, right and might are the two words that go with this. Right and might. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, power. Who are you? Revelation chapter 4 and 5. I am who I am. O little lamb, slain. It's you. That's right. It's me. The Son of God. Now, watch. Back over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And you will note in chapter 5, verse 12, what are the angels, millions and zillions of them, what are they saying? With a loud voice, a great voice. And if you thought a thousand voice choir is something, I can't imagine what that's like. But you understand, you have great space. You have great space. There are no dimensions. So you can see you can have trillions and millions. And there's no problem with space. Now, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then a sevenfold statement. A sevenfold statement about it. Seven. Complete, full, perfect. 7 days, seven, seven, seven. Revelation is full of sevens. God tells you this is what I do. The seven churches, Revelation 2 and 3. Seven churches. Seven. I'm trying to tell you. What about this one? Seven, complete, full statement. A full affirming statement. They're going to make a statement that denial and question are beyond and out of question. Eternal affirmation. Now, seven statements. What are they? Seven words. Receive power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. There they are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The honor, all of it, all the honor, all honor is his. All blessing is his. All glory is his. They say, boy, that's narrow. No, it isn't. He's the Creator. And the Creator has every right to enjoy the totality of his creation, doesn't he? Doesn't the Creator have the right to enjoy his creation without controversy and without debate? You say, who do you say that I am? Thou art God, the Creator. Thus, here's this seven. Now, in order to get that to you, here I said that, and here he is, and here we are. Well, here we are down here. So my half a thought, here we are still. He's there, we're here, and the Lord Jesus Christ, his presence, his power, his person in the believing heart, here we are, God, on this day. God, now, we're reading this, and this is a mob. This is beyond our ability to understand the magnificence of this occasion, out of which will come the judgments of Revelation chapter 6 and the tribulation. After this, wham, down on the earth. Wow. Now, so how are we going to look at it? Would you allow me, I'm thinking of each of these words, power, etc., riches, wisdom. And I'd like you to look. I'm just going to think out loud. Is that all right? What does that mean to me? There it is, and all the angels are saying it. That's right. Well, here I am. Now, God, and it's all because we're saved. You have redeemed us. It's all about your redemption, that you've done something that makes the little lamb slain so worthy, so exalted, so wonderful. Would you go with me, please, in the light of power? Power. I'm going to take each one of them very quickly. Power. Power, dynamite. All power. Omnipotence, omnipotence, omnipotence. Power. God, what does that mean as a believer? Here I am. I'm God, I read it. I don't want it to be something future. But hey, what about now? God doesn't give us that picture without understanding. Here we are. Over, if you would, please. Now, you know the commission of the church, the body of believers. What are we to do? We're to receive all power after the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has come upon us. We're to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, the uttermost part of the world. The word power, power, dynamite, dynamite, dynamic, dynamo, all are English words, English words. Now, so here we are. Go over with me, please, over to... It's going to be tough translating heaven to now in a little time. I don't know. What can I tell you? Over, if you would. Romans 1:16. At least we'll do a little. At least get it. Wonderful truth. Romans 1:16. Power, power, power. Receive power. All power. You are the omnipotent one. And thus, verse 16, chapter 1, Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news, the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, 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 power of God, the good news. The good news, the content of which is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one being exalted. He is the omnipotent God, and he is the gospel of Christ. Verse 16, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or the Gentile. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The power of God that saves us. All power is his. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And going directly, if I can, in verse 7, for the believing heart, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of dust and clay. That purpose, that the excellency, the superiority of the excellency of the power, there's your word, the dynamite, the dynamic, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So here we are in an earthen vessel. Why couldn't we have a strong super vessel? Why couldn't we be like an angel? Because we are like an angel. Angels don't have flesh and blood. They don't have flesh and blood. That's why they can't die. They aren't made like us. We have flesh and blood. That's God. Why can't we be like them? No. I made you a little lower than the angels. For the honor and glory of my name, I made you less than them, so that as they look at you, they are superior. But as they see me in you, you are superior. You are superior. Earthen vessel. You're nobody. You bet. We're nothing. We're so frail. So frail. Dying all the time. We are dying. Physically. Wow. Now, we have this treasure in earthen vessels for the power, your power. That's right. What power? That power. The power of the little lamb that's worthy. That lamb, my Savior, your Savior, I hope, is able to give you that light for a little dust. That's what God did. 2 Corinthians 12. And if I may, you know Paul was given exposure to heaven, the third heaven, not first, second, third heaven. And the process, in order to be down here and help us, he had to be afflicted physically so that he couldn't, he'd always remember he's earthly still. Verse 9. And he said unto, I'll read verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times that it might depart from me. God, why don't you heal me? No, God didn't. And he said unto me, my grace, God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, there's your word, my strength is made perfect in weakness, a vessel of dust. That's my arrangement, earthen vessel and God. Nothingness and everythingness, you see. Thus, verse 9, my strength, power, is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmities and all the weaknesses of my humanity, that the power, there's your word again, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God, up there, they're going to give you. I'm going to give it to them. I hope you do. I hope you're there. We're going to all give it to them. We're going to listen to the angels and say, wow, wow, as they sing it, and we're going to agree wholeheartedly, power to you, you see. Not power to the people. Power to you, God. To you, God. Now, and thus, God, you able to do that? Absolutely, absolutely. No question about it. Now, having said that, go over with me, if you would, to Ephesians. There's power. There's seven of them. We may not touch them all, but at least you get a sense of it, you know. Here I am, a little dust, just like you. Here we are, and God. God, how do we answer anything? God, we don't have it. No. But when you understand, Christ is the power of God, the good news in you, so that in this earthen vessel, he can, in my weakness, your infirmity, my infirmities, with all of our ills and aches and ups and downs, God, all of that is the background, the backdrop for you to be honored. Now, over to Ephesians. If you would, in Ephesians, chapter 1. Remember, riches, power, riches, the riches, wealth. It means abundance. Very, 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 a lot, very great riches. Could be money, could be anything, just a lot of it. Riches. God, here I am, and you're going to get all that credit. That's right. You are. Power and riches belong to you, God. All of them. All of it does. 1:7, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the what? Riches, there's your word, the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. The riches, abundance. God, to you all riches. And now, Christ in you. Greater is he that is what? In you. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than what? He that is in the world. Who's in me? The one who's going to be exalted. Wow. Power and riches. That's right. Riches. God. Rich, wow. Riches, the riches of your grace. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches, there you are, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, the riches of the glory. The wonderful thing that God has done in saving you. You say, well, it isn't. You keep looking at it for what you're getting, and you're getting a marvelous relationship to God. But that isn't enough, because that doesn't help my groceries, and that doesn't help my doctor bill, and that doesn't help my little family problems. That isn't enough. But it should be the very point that it is enough. Sufficient in my weakness is your grace. Well, that's right. Now, and power. So now, verse 18, the riches of the glory of his inheritance. God has a wonderful inheritance in Christ. You say, in you? No. But when Christ, you receive Christ as your Savior, God made it possible for God to take your humanity earthly. And for God to look, remember you're saying it, glory to glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18, made in the image and likeness, for God to see himself in you, in Christ. For God to find himself in the heart, in Christ who is God, the little lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So that when God looks in the mirror, just like you do, we shared it a number of times. When you look in the mirror, you are the object, and the mirror reflects you. Mirror reflects you. We're created in the image and likeness of God for humans to reflect the Creator, God. God made that possible. That's right. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's right. What is rich? Christ in me, the hope of what? Glory. You see? Yeah. Wow. So God, what is it? It's a wonderful thing, God. Riches to you. All riches. That's right. All wealth. Wow. Chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches, not just riches, exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And remember verse 6, who hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if at that time, if you can just imagine the church seated up there around the throne, the believers up there, and the believers are with him. They belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they listen to the whole angelic realm, creation, singing, and here we, around us, here we are. Wow! To the one who saved us. To the one who made us his own. We're bought with a price. Made us his own. So that what? Well, here we are, and we are the head of our Lord Jesus Christ of the body, the church, which is his body, of which he is the head, is honored. And when the head is honored, can you imagine what the body must be like? What it must be like. When you have something in your brain, mental brain, you want your brain, remember, you use a brain. So don't. You got a brain. You use it. The brain isn't you. You use the brain like you use your heart and everything else. You use it. But here's your brain with all of them. And if you had something wonderful, someone just said, your favorite dinner is waiting for you out there. And everything you could dream of is there. Would your head be sort of excited? And you would hope we get out on time so that you would get there, right? Right? Wouldn't your body, doesn't your body, when your head is excited, don't you recognize it in your body? Here's the head being honored. What of his body? I don't know. Wow. But here what I know that we are, verse 18, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and we are seated together. We are seated together, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We are seated there to show the exceeding riches of his grace. Because who are we? We aren't angels. We're nobodies. That's right, earthen vessels that God did in his grace save them. In the riches of his grace save them. He died. That's why he looks like he does. He paid the price. That's why we're there. You see, he's highly exalted. And there's no question or doubt of these things being lined up by the angels, power and riches, not a doubt. If you would, well, in the light of that, over, well, you're right here, why not? Chapter 3 and verse 8. Unto me, whom am 3 Ephesians 8:3-8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches, the wealth, the abundance
of who he is.
And we read it, we talk about it, we think about it, we try to trust God for it. Chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches, there's your word, of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, to be strengthened with might, and by to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner heart, strengthened, by the very fact of understanding and trusting God's wonderful thing. Do you remember the church? You don't have to turn there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. The last stage of the church is the Laodicean church, the Laodicean age is which we're living in. And what was the problem? They had left God out. They got churches, and God's missing. That's why, behold, they stand at the door and knock. And what is their problem? Chapter 3, verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and I need nothing. There's the word rich. The dummies. I'm rich. Choir, building, books, programs, agendas. You dummies, you're poor and wretched and miserable and blind. You see? No, where are riches? No, riches belong to you, God. Riches belong to you, and you belong to me. Huh? My Savior, isn't it? My Savior. Yeah, all of that, all of this, God, it's you in me bringing all that to my little heart. I don't deserve any of this. No, never, never. But the Lord Jesus Christ made it possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. He made it possible to satisfy your righteousness so that you could have that, so I could be justified and stand before you, God. Over, if you would, when you're in Ephesians, why not? Go right back over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Saying right there. And wisdom, power, riches, wisdom. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. Here's wisdom. Ephesians 1:8. Having made known the benefits of being a believer, that church in Ephesus was blessed. Having, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. All wisdom, abounding in wisdom. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians in chapter 1. In all wisdom. Colossians 1 and verse 9. The prayer. God, what do you want for me? What do you want for each believer? What do you want for a human being? I want them to know what? Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be, filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would be full of his will in all wisdom and understanding. How so? Chapter 2, verse 3. 2 and 3, Colossians. In Christ, the end of verse 2, you'll pick up the thought, acknowledge the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom, there's your word, and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge, that's right. To you, power and riches and wisdom, absolutely, God. In all wisdom, omniscience, God. Omniscience, omnipotence, omniscient God. Absolutely. Would you go with me, please, over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Power and riches and wisdom and strength. Wow. And thus, chapter 4, what has that got to do with me? A lot. Word strength in Revelation 5 and 12 and here has to do with power, might, ability, to be able to do something, to can do something, can do it. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, I can do, there's your word, strength. I can do, I am able, I have the power. I have the ability to do all things. How so? Through Christ, which strengthened. He infuses his strength in me. How can I possibly, an earthen vessel, do any of it? Because the Spirit of God is going to make it happen. Now, what's he going to do to make it happen? And how am I going to benefit? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. By not worrying, be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry about it. Be thankful. The peace of God passes all understanding, verse 7. Sliding down to verse 11, I can do all things. Well, how so? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I know how, I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed, initiated. Remember we did it last Sunday night, initiated, the mystery, the initiated. And in all things I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And in the great dealing with me, God's dealing with my heart, God's teaching me to trust him when I have a lot, when I have nothing, when things are very easy, when things are very hard, when I understand and when I don't understand, no matter what, when, where, who, how. I am learning to trust him. I can do all things. O earthen vessel, how can this be so? Because of a wonderful God and his wonderful grace. Thus, keeping that in mind, if you'd go with me over, please. First Corinthians chapter 6. And picking up the thought, power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor. Our fifth word, honor. That's right, honor. The word honor, price, value, to put a price and value on something. The reverence, dignity, respect, preciousness, the preciousness of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, speaking of the believing heart now. Verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? That's where it came from and how it happened. And you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. And there is the word honor, price, value, something of great value. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I can do all things, all the kinds of things in life that are hard, easy, I don't understand, and they're difficult, and the world isn't helping any. The world's compounding the problem daily in many ways. So here we are. God, that's going to be wonderful, but here I am, that's right. And power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor you have given to us. And here we are bought, verse 20, we are bought with a price. We are honored that you bought us with your precious blood. Your precious blood. The word precious is the word honor, precious. The preciousness of Christ. Wow. God, you did a wonderful thing for us. That's right. You are precious. You are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God, it's a wonderful thing. You have told us and helped us understand that tomorrow we're going to be up there, believers, and we're going to have something else going on after the judgment seat of Christ. After that, because you get crowns, you know, you have to have the judgment seat for the crowns that they have. And all of that's going to take place, God. And here I am fumbling around, wondering why I come to church. Do I have to come to church? You know, wondering why you do anything, see? I want to make my life better. Work, home, school, better job. Want to get through school. so I can go to work and wish I had been back in school and learned something, you know, and all the different things. Wow, we're all doing that. And we're all locked up in the earth. And believers ought to have, like Colossians 3, seek ye first, not that's Ephesians 6, Revelation, Matthew 6, 33. See, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. Yeah. See. Hey, come on. Life's terrible in a real sense. If you really stand back and look at it, you aren't going to come out good. Oh, yeah. And the world isn't going to come out good. So you can wish it and want it, but it ain't going to work. Not going to work. But God, you made it possible for us to live in it. Live in it, just like the book, God. Here we are. Here we are. And we turn another page tomorrow, and another page, and another page. And then God takes us, and you have no more pages to turn. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God help us in trying to get a handle on this, that which is so beyond us, above, beyond, and greater. God, we want to be able to appreciate that angelic chorus and benefit here and now in the light of all that will be there and then. So God, deal with us. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convince them to receive the Lord as Jesus Christ into their heart. And our God, we look to you. In all the things, the difficulties, our God, we are able. We are able. We can do all things because of you. God, thank you very, very much. So we don't get discouraged, depressed, disappointed, dismayed. God, dismantled. God, help us. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we could sing, please. Stanza number one, hymn number one.